Salah Uddin, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me in.
First of all, the day that sort of started this whole storyline of yours, given the time and place of those events, were you surprised at all that that's how it went down?
That I was arrested?
Yeah.
I had been arrested many times. I had been in the Mississippi Delta in political activity for 5 years before that arrest. So I'd been there since 1965 as a freedom worker. When I was leaving, I was leaving with a car full of activists, leaving Mississippi headed north. And there was a car that was following us for a long distance. So as we left Tennessee and drove into Kentucky, that's when the red and blue lights came on. And so I was not at all surprised. I was never surprised whenever we got arrested in Mississippi or in the South, because they monitored us very closely and they arrested us very frequently.
The challenges that you've described, the profiling, the racial tensions, in what ways are those lingering in the American South or here in Pittsburgh?
Now the South is the homeland, the base of the conservative Republican vote. And it is the base of resistance to progressive political activity. People who are trying to make voting more accessible to more people, for example. People who are trying to break down laws that discriminate against people who are of a certain color or who are of a certain gender or who are of a certain sexual lifestyle. So it remains the heart of the Confederacy and a hotbed for resistance to change.
In what ways is it harder or easier for African American men now as it was in 1965, 1970?
The most acute difficulties and challenges, I think, have to do with employment and the criminal justice system. And those two are connected. The criminal justice system, engagement with them, has collateral consequences that make employment subsequent to that very, very difficult.
Right. I mean, according to the NAACP, right, African American men are incarcerated at 6 times the rate as their white counterparts. I mean, for you personally, in what way did having a criminal record impact your life?
When I decided to run for public office in 1994, every time I had challengers in those elections, there was questions raised about my eligibility to hold public office based on the fact that I was a convicted felon. And there has always been the threat that I may be prosecuted or there may be a legal challenge to my eligibility. There was always a need on my part to defend my right to participate in the democracy. It didn't stop me. That's an important note. People who have criminal records should not sit back and say, oh, I can't do this because I got a record. You should do it anyway. Make them stop you. Don't you stop yourself.
Well, now you're in a very different situation right after applying for your presidential pardon. You waited several years. How did you find out that had finally come through recently?
I submitted the application in 2012 and waited 4 years to hear anything. You can't inquire. You can't ask the FBI the status of the application. You can't go to the Justice Department and ask them what's going on. Am I going to get it? Nobody has any answers. But I've been monitoring the president's use of the pardon and the use of clemency.
Well, it's been low in terms of pardons, one of the higher rates of clemency, but you're one of only 148 pardons that he's issued.
Yes, in the whole 8 years.
Right.
But he has issued over 1,200 clemency mm-hmm. orders. The difference is clemency gets people who are currently in jail out of jail, but a pardon is targeted to people who are already out of jail and pardons their record. So I can understand it's a higher priority to get people out of jail than for people who are seeking a pardon, who are able to eat dinner with their families every night versus people who are eating dinner with inmates every night. So I understand the president's putting that on a higher priority. I just wanted to make sure that the president didn't forget pardons are important too.
Why do you think you were one of the very few pardons that were ordered by President Obama during his term?
My lawyer and my wife think that my application was the best application for a pardon that was ever submitted to the Justice Department. If you look at the kind of life that people lead once they leave prison, that has a lot to do with whether or not you're going to get a pardon. When you look at my life, I've been a city councilman. I was on city council for 10 and a half years. I've been a community organizer. I've been helping people in the civil rights and the diversity arena for many, many years, consistently, for over 50 years. So it's hard to beat that record.
What does receiving that recognition really mean for you and your life? You've been able to achieve things without it. Is it truly a clean slate for you, or is it really symbolic?
It's a kind of a vindication.
Sure.
Of sorts, and a kind of a acknowledgement of the life that I have lived and the contributions that I've made. I was invited to an event where President Obama was going to be present on a visit through Pittsburgh at one time. And all invitees have to submit their name, Social Security number, employer, information like that. And I got the word back that I would not be admitted to the event because I was a felon. Oh, that broke my heart. Whenever I saw my name in the newspaper, it always had to be followed by a convicted felon. Now they have to include that I'm a pardoned felon. That's cool.
Will your fight continue on in one way or another?
I will continue to do what I've been doing for the last 50 years because that's who I am and that's what I do. That's all that I do is fight for equality and justice.
Salah Uddin, thank you again so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.